Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, Patrick and I introduce ourselves to an adoring public.
And understand why each intro has a little witty banter.
Okay. Hey, Patrick, thanks for having me over to your house.
How do you like my basement?
The basement is awesome. It is a music paradise down here. Do you spend a lot of time down here?
I do. It's a little hidden away from everybody else in our small, cozy home. And it is soundproofed by a lot of albums.
Yeah, I would probably just hang out down here a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It would take probably several years to get through all these records that you have down here.
There's a lot to read and a lot to listen to. So
yeah.
And we're in the middle of the suburbs, too. You can't get more suburban than where we are.
It's where the rock happens, and yes. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I am Patrick Foster.
And now that we've introduced ourselves, let's talk a little bit about what this show is for people who may not know us. We've done some other podcasts in the past, but now we're doing this show.
We are.
And what are we doing with this thing?
Well, I think what we're going to do is explore kind of our roots in suburban rock. You and I both grew up in the suburbs and kind of fell in love with rock and roll. Out here, I guess you could say. And I think it's about what we learned then and how that shaped the way we have created these little enclaves of listening in our own homes.
That's right. So if you are listening to us for the first time, if you discovered this new podcast, Rock in the Suburbs, the deal is this. It's me and Patrick, and we're both family men. As you mentioned, suburbs, we're in Northern Virginia, the suburbs of Washington, D.C., and we're kind of the weirdos in that we have this great appreciation for all of the classic music maybe that we grew up with, but we're still discovering new stuff today, right?
Yeah, that's right, and also kind of reveling in what I would call the connected age, where you can sort of find anything and really enjoy that. You know, it's a time where you can, you know, hear about something or think about something and just kind of call it up.
And we're also going to have a couple of drinks here while we're
definitely going to have drinks.
Do the podcast, right?
I'm working on some Guinness, the Guinness draft.
And part of the thing too here is that part of the reason why we're in this basement, this is where your family sort of like makes you go to listen to the music, right?
Always has been.
You know, so I think a lot of people can relate to that too, that as you get older and you are still into music, even within your own family, it's not necessarily appreciated.
No, that's right.
Okay, so what we thought we would do here is play a little song by way of introduction. One of the things we like to do is sort of always relate music to personal life, personal experiences. And if somebody asks, you know, what kind of music fan are you? And you could say, listen to this song, and that'll give you a good sense of it. So let's hit it. This is Jim. Left at the dial.
Yeah, The Replacements. What an amazing sonic trick that those, you know, drumsticks clicking together is, right? And the, you know, really creates kind of a like a little background thing, keeps the beat going, but also really changes the dynamic of the song.
Well, that's one of the things I love about that song is that kind of stopping and starting, kind of herky-jerky nature of it. Like, the song never quite gets going the way you want to just traditionally sort of grab onto it and make it happen. So another thing about that too is I'm always a sucker for like interesting ways that you incorporate percussion into a song that isn't just the normal sort of four on the floor kind of playing, right?
Exactly. So, and what a great lo-fi way to do that. It's just so creative. Like, normally you hear those stick clicks at the beginning of a song.
Just to count it down,
that's
right?
That's right. But in the middle like that for like 8 or 12 beats, right. It's really genius.
They could have used cowbell, but no.
So tell me, Jim, why Left of the Dial kind of incorporates, not necessarily a philosophy, but, kind of saying,
sort of music aesthetic.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. So, you know, like you, I sort of came of musical fandom age probably mostly in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And when I went to college, that started in college in 1985. That's actually when this album came out, Tim. And college was the experience where it sort of opened me up to a whole world of new music. You know, before then it was mostly what I heard on the radio. And when I went to college, then it sort of, you know, there was all this new stuff to hear. There was college radio. This is a song actually sort of about college radio. That's the whole idea of Left of the Dial.
Right.
That's where you had the lower power stations.
Uh-huh.
So it's an ode to that, which is nice because it's very nostalgic for me in that sense. But also, I think, you know, and the Replacements became my favorite band because of that sense of the real spirit of rock and roll that you hear in their music. And the real kind of thrill, I think, of music that, you know, you get the sense that they're fans too. And that comes through, I think, a lot in Left of the Dial. But the other thing I think is great about this song in particular is that you can take it a couple of different ways. It really, it's sort of like, even in the lyrics, when it says, "What side are you on?" It's that sort of sense of, you really had to live at that time, I think, to really get it. Today, where music is just so ubiquitous and people can listen to anything and there's no sense or much less sense of sort of musical cliques.
Mm-hmm.
People are kind of all over the place. They sample things. They digest things.
Everything's at your fingertips.
Experience it. Right.
Yeah.
Back then, it was a feeling of like, if you got this music, you were on this side.
Yeah.
You were on our side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you didn't get it, you were on the other side.
That's
right?
Right.
And it's sort of a call to arms almost in that way. Right.
Yeah.
And so to me, this is like a really defining song in terms of like how I feel. And I think also you can take Left of the Dial as sort of a metaphor and sort of just kind of like life, you know, that you're kind of off to the side, you know, anybody who, you know, you're just somebody who just kind of sees the world a little bit differently or, you know, it's not part of the mainstream. You're off, you know, to the left of the dial, right? There's a great line also in the song, which I think would be lost on younger listeners today, which is that idea of station started to fade, you know, picked another one up in the very next state.
That's right.
You know, that whole idea that like music was something you had to search for, you had to find, you had to work for it to get the good stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember that when you found a good radio station that you had to like, you know, tune it in certain spots, or you had to fight to hear it, that kind of thing, right?
Hoping it would work at night or during the day when you wanted it to.
That's right. Right. This song also has one of the just greatest wordplay lines ever in sort of a reference to rock and roll, which is, you know, sort of speaks to like posers and things like that, which is playing makeup wearing guitar.
Yeah. Right?
So it's great stuff. So All right. So we're going to take a little break here.
Let's take a short break.
And then we're going to hear Patrick's story.
You and I have a new podcast, Jim.
Yeah.
It's fun to get together every day for coffee.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. It's kind of our morning ritual.
It's called Rock in the Suburbs, which is what we do. We're rocking it and we're living it.
Wake up, rock in the suburbs. We're competing with Good Morning America and some of those other shows.
Okay, we only have a short amount of time here, so let's tell people what they should do.
They should rate and review us on iTunes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And subscribe.
Right.
And if you don't have iTunes, if you listen to us through Audio Boom, you should follow the show there, because then you get updates on the show.
That's right.
All right. So do those things. It'll help us out. We would really appreciate it. That's it.
As we prepared to talk about this, Jim, I was thinking a lot about what an excellent choice you made, and also wanted to give something that was kind of all-encompassing in a way of establishing my aesthetic, but also expressing what music means to me and kind of what it meant to me and how I fell in love with it. So the song I chose is called Kaleidoscope World. It's by a band called The Chills, Flying Nun Band. Came out early in The Chills' career. I'm not exactly sure when. This is a band with a very sort of scattered discography, scattered membership. Martin Phillips, though, remained the constant in the band, and the band is still going to this day. This song is from the 80s, and I want to play a little bit of it for you guys, and then I'll kind of talk about why I chose it from among many others that I scuttled through to choose it. So there it is, Kaleidoscope World by The Chills.
Okay.
1982, actually, on a seminal record released on the Flying Nun label called Dunedin Double, which was basically an EP, a double EP containing four bands, The Chills being among them. But what I think immediately might strike you about it is that it's lo-fi,
yes,
right? Very homemade sounding. There's a key tenet of my philosophy. I've always been in love with music that sounds authentic, that sounds lo-fi, doesn't sound too produced, not
right.
too glossy, right? From early on, from listening to Johnny Cash records that had that very raw sort of, you know, Tennessee 2, very Sun Studios kind of sound that's very raw and authentic. And then secondly, the sentiment of the whole song Kaleidoscope World. This is what music has always done for me. You know, this is what sitting in wherever I was in the suburbs, quote unquote, rocking out was about. It opened up this entirely different world that was really kaleidoscopic, depending on what you listen to. And, you know, when I discovered The Who, when I discovered Kiss, you know, when I discovered, when I graduated to more local music, like Rites of Spring and Minor Threat and bands like that, everything about it opened up another piece of that world for me. And all the records on the Flying Nun label became favorites of mine, The Clean and The Bats and, you know, so many records. And The Chills, you know, probably one of my all-time favorite bands on the Flying Nun label. And, you know, it just kind of, to me, encapsulates that fact that you get lost in this whole world, you know, when you find that one record. You know, before we started talking today, Jim, you were telling me about a song you had just discovered and basically had on repeat for a whole day. You know, it's that feeling of just falling into that world and just allowing it to open up in different shapes and different colors and different places that really kind of defines, you know, everything about it. And as long as it's lo-fi.
Well, but I know you, and I know you like some highly produced stuff.
I do as well.
You
yep.
know?
Yep.
You enjoy a little like Pink Floyd,
I do.
Things like that, right?
I do, like a little Madonna, a little Streisand. It's all part of the Kaleidoscope.
It is. Well, that's what I was going to say. So listeners, stick with us, and you're going to get a sense of this Kaleidoscope, because we're going to, over the course of this podcast, talk about not just alternative rock kind of stuff that we really like, but some things that are really poppy, really popular, mm-hmm. really mainstream. Also soul and country
Absolutely.
And rockabilly and, I don't know, synth pop and whatever else, you know,
exactly,
because
right.
as I look around this basement, I see it all.
Yeah. And this really is kind of my Kaleidoscope world. Yeah. So, you know, that song kind of represents it to me. And, you know, just the magic thinking to myself, wow, this came from New Zealand in 1982. Like, how is that possible? It seems so far away. You know, the world is not connected like it used to be, and the mystery of that. And yet it was obvious these guys, you know, listened to the same records at some point that I did too, you know. And
all right, cool. So here's the thing. You can listen to Rock in the Suburbs, not just every week, but
every day.
Every day. We're planning to do these little short podcasts 5 days a week. Are we up for it?
I think so. You know, Jim, I think it's like a multivitamin. You know, you need to take one of those every day when you get to our age to keep yourself balanced, get your iron.
Yeah, there's that. I think it's like listening to singles instead of an album.
There you go. That's even better.
Right. Okay. So Here's where you can find the show. You can find Rock in the Suburbs on iTunes or Audio Boom, and there will be new places coming somewhere down the road.
Mm-hmm.
You can email us at suburbspod@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at suburbspod. You can find us on Facebook, also suburbspod.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is your favorite thing. You can call the RTS hotline.
How about 612-440-1984? There it is.
All right. That's one down.
Yeah. This is the first one. And then we'll move on to the second one.
So we'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foss.
See ya.
Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, you're going to learn why we're going to rock the suburbs.
Hmm.
Oh, that's terrible. Why don't you try it?
Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, Patrick and I rock the suburbs. No.